Does your computer repair business website need work? Go to techsitebuilder.com and get the official Podnuts method for making a site that works. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 254. Today, I'm joined with Jose from ComputerDoctor.com, and I think it's kind of clever how Jose spells his site. It's Q-O-M-P-U-T-E-R-Doctor.com. Hey, Jose, how's it going?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Great. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Sacramento, California.
Sacramento. And your business is ComputerDoctor.com. When did you start that?
I started in, actually, it's actually 2 years right about now, in July of 2008.
Oh, cool. And we were talking a little bit before the show. It's not your full-time gig now, but from what you did tell me, you're getting a lot of business from word of mouth, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I guess I average about, if I was to say monthly, I average about, I don't know, 15 to 18 computers a month, I guess.
Man, that is not bad from word of mouth. You must know a lot of people.
Actually, I didn't know anybody up here. When I moved up here to this area, I didn't know anybody really. And, you know, little by little started getting known. And right now, like I said, most of the people that contact me now is because somebody gave them my number or recommended me to them.
That's great. Hey, it means you're doing a good job.
Yeah, I guess I try.
Tell us a little bit about your business. How did you get started and what made you want to do this?
Well, I guess I've been into computers since back in the Commodore 64 days, the Amiga.
Nice.
You know, the Commodore Amiga. And I've always been into computers. I used to do a little bit of programming in BASIC and Pascal, but never anything, you know, major.
Right.
And then when my Amiga broke in like 1991, I just totally stopped using computers completely. I did not touch a computer until I think it was 1999. When I got a little HP, and it was Windows 98. And that was my first time ever that I touched Windows. I was like, whoa, what is this? You know, it was very different. And from there, obviously, you probably know that Windows 98 was a nightmare. So you had to learn how to repair your own computer if you don't have the money to go and take it somewhere. And that's how I started learning. And after that, you know, pretty much I said, hey, you know what? In 2003, I believe, I started doing it in L.A., I started working on computers. I put up advertisements and I said, you know what, I can do this. And then unfortunately with my old job that I had, I was traveling too much. So I ended up abandoning that idea until I moved up here to Sacramento. And I said, okay, now that I'm settled down in one place, now I can give it a go.
Wow. So you're doing good with it. But so what's your long-term plan? Do you want to keep your full-time job and do this on the side?
You know what? Like I was telling you before the show, actually, because of the insurance and the retirement plan that I have, I wouldn't mind staying there. And especially since I work midnights, it allows me to have enough time during the day to do whatever I need to do as far as computers. But I would love to open up, you know, a little shop and actually do it more of a full time. And I mean, if it becomes very, very good, then I'll just leave my other job. And I would love to do this full time.
Yeah, it's cool. Your other job is cool, though, actually. I mean, of course, you go with where your passion is. But we were talking before the show a little bit about this. And you work with trains, like freight trains.
That is correct.
In the area that repairs them and does maintenance on the engines and stuff. And for some reason, I have this affinity for trains I've had since I was a kid. Like, I just see them and I like them, and I could just look at pictures of old trains and just look at tracks and feel like I've just have this like I've been there before or something. I can't explain it. So I love trains, and you told me you get to drive these engines.
Yes, we do. We actually get to move them around the yard. We need to, you know, spot them from when they come in. We need to take them to the fueling area where they do the basic cleanup, and then if they need more major repairs, we need to take them over to the actual shop. So I get to drive around in them there in the yard, and it's amazing. And not only that, but even I'm kind of with you on that. Even when I see trains out on the road, or when the main line that's right next to, you know, the shop there, when the big old trains with, you know, 120 rail cars go by,
right,
even I still just stare at them, and I just love seeing them, and I'm basically on top of them all night long.
That's good. So maybe, if you were like, I don't know, flipping burgers or like working for the Geek Squad or something, then I would say, okay, maybe switch your job. But that's a pretty cool job. I can handle trains. I'm gonna ask a dumb question, totally disrelated, and we'll get into computer stuff after I ask this. But I always wanted to ask somebody this because it never really clicked in my mind, and it's regarding trains. Look, okay. you got these engines, right? And they're pulling like 100 cars or so, right? Some of these big freight trains.
Yes.
I don't understand how the engine can get them all rolling. I can't imagine the engine is heavy enough of a machine to give the a proper friction to move all the cars. How do they get started? How does a freight train get started?
You know, that's kind of an interesting question because when you think about the fact that the wheels are metal and the track is metal, and you would not imagine that there was any traction there, you would imagine they would slip.
Right.
But one of the things that trains have, they actually drop sand in front of the wheels. So when they start going, if the locomotive detects there's what they call wheel slip, it'll start throwing sand. So it can kind of grind it between the rail and the wheel, and it'll create more friction. I'm sorry. But, you know, I really, that's a very hard question to answer because I've even asked that myself. Like one single unit, I've heard can pull up to 50 or 60 rail cars.
Right.
And, you know, usually they carry about four or five or six, you know. So
right, and these things are heavy because they're heavy. They have all the cargo in them, and it just always boggled me.
Yeah, the unit itself, only the big ones, weigh about 416,000 pounds.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
Well, that makes more sense. Thanks. Thanks for letting me ask that. Thank you, everybody, for letting me ask that question. I'm just indulging my train fetish here. All right, let's get over to your computer stuff. So, well, why don't you tell us what you brought for us today? What do you have, some jobs that you did or some tips? Or
yeah, I have a couple of jobs that I kind of noted down since I started thinking about, you know, wanting to be on the show. I kind of kept track of the weirdest ones that I came across, because great. Most of them, like everybody else, it's mostly, you know, virus removal, right. Malware removal.
Right.
But these couple here that I wrote down, they're kind of different.
Cool.
So the first one that I have on my list here is I had an old Dell Latitude. It was a PP01S, a laptop, and it wouldn't boot. Basically, what it would do is as soon as you turn it on, it would just go into the BIOS diagnostic screen. Then after a couple of seconds, the screen would just scramble up and you would see a bunch of different colors. And then it would go blank. It would make a continuous loud beep. And like, I'll tell you right now what it was. And then it would just reboot. And it would just keep doing this over and over and over.
Is this an old school like C series Latitude or is it a D series Latitude?
It was before the D series. It was, like I said, it was probably before the C. It was like a 1998 computer. It had Windows 98 originally.
Damn. Okay.
But this one had XP on it. So what would happen is I remember that when you press a key and you try to turn on the computer, you get that loud beeping sound if you hold down a key on the keyboard.
Right.
So I said, you know what, this seems like there's a stuck key or something. But I tried, you know, I tried to see if I could see if a key was stuck or something. And right. I could not see anything like that. So what I ended up doing, I said, well, let me remove the keyboard and see what happens. Sure enough, as soon as I disconnected the keyboard from the motherboard, it booted right up.
Good find.
That was, yeah, it was kind of interesting. But I think that, you know, the experience of hearing that beep sometime before, it helped me to narrow it down to that.
That's a great find. That's a great idea. Good idea. Yeah,
might help somebody someday.
And probably you could get that, if you did want to get that computer fixed, you could probably get that keyboard on eBay for like $10 or something, right?
I ended up getting it, I believe, for $13.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, the guy was happy with that one. I mean, people that have these old computers, you know, I've hardly a couple of times had to tell somebody, you know what, it's not even worth it.
I know. It's amazing, though. Don't you find that, like, you feel like they might be relieved when you tell them this or, like, see, I always, when I have a computer that old, I really feel bad sometimes fixing it and giving it back to them knowing it's just an old thing. But people have sentimental value connected with these things. And also, a lot of people still think a laptop costs over $1,000. They really do.
Yeah.
So when you tell them they need a laptop, they usually say, I don't have $1,000 I could spend right now. And I think once you let and, you know, enlighten them on how much they really cost these days, it works out better.
Oh yeah, I just had a guy call me the other day, and he had this laptop he bought on the street, and it came with a pirated, you know, version of Windows XP on it.
Right.
And so he wanted to, you know, what do I need to do? And I gave him his options and everything, And then he also had very little memory and all that. I told him, you know what, for the amount of money you're going to pay to buy Windows 7, if you want that, or Windows XP, for me to put it on and everything, you're going to spend as much as you would for a new one.
Right.
So I ended up looking at the Fry's Electronics flyer that day, and there was a brand new Acer for $295.
Right.
And I was like, you know, you're going to spend about that much to repair this one, and it's old. So never mind.
Totally. And those, you know, those two, you know, leave it to Acer. They always have a good deal like that. And those computers are perfectly fine.
They're not bad.
Most people, you know, just internet browsing, whatever most normal like applications are, people run them on those computers perfectly fine. You don't need to have like, you know, like i7s, i5s and these things. They really don't.
No, they don't. Not for the majority.
Yeah.
Okay. My next one that I have, it was a Lenovo Z210. It was a desktop with Windows Vista on it. And the customer told me that this computer would take over 3 hours to boot. And I was thinking, okay, wait, you got to be kidding. No, for real. And I thought she was being sarcastic or exaggerating. Right. So I figured,
wait a minute. I'm trying to get a picture of it. It's a Lenovo Z210?
Yeah, it's not that old. It has Vista on it.
Okay, yes. I can't find it, but anyway, I'll go ahead. That's fine. It's a desktop or laptop?
Desktop.
Gotcha. Okay, sorry, continue.
Okay, no problem. So I figured, yeah, okay, well, if it takes that long to boot, you know, maybe it has malware, maybe it has, you know, a whole bunch of programs in the startup list, or who knows.
Right.
So I got there, and the computer was already running, because obviously they try at all costs not to have to reboot that thing, right?
Right.
So I got there, and I noticed that it had Trend Micro antivirus. And which was already expired, by the way, and it had LimeWire, and I said, oh, okay, this is going to be fun.
Oh, man. So,
I tried to run some scans, you know, at the beginning. I ran, you know, the usual Trojan Remover, Super Anti-Spyware, Malwarebytes, just to try to do as much as I can before having to reboot it.
Right.
And, you know, surprisingly, there was really not that much malware on it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, whoa, so what's going on here then?
Right.
So anyway, so, you know, after we do a cleanup with Malwarebytes or Super Anti-Spyware, you have to reboot. So we went through the reboot, and it remained in the BIOS diagnostic screen for a very long time. And it just said, press escape to bypass normal startup. So I said, okay, press escape. Nothing happened. So I tried delete F1, F2, F12, you know, all the possible combinations of keys that will get you into the BIOS.
Right.
Nothing. Nothing changed. No matter what I did, it just stayed there. So I turned it off, you know, the bad way, holding the power button for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Rebooted again and tried as early as possible to try to get into the BIOS.
Right.
And nothing. I still could not get into the BIOS. So I said, okay, well, let me do the next step. So, and this was at the customer's house, actually. When it gets to be like, if I think that it's going to be too complicated, I tell them, you know, I'm going to have to take it. But, I said, let me try one more thing and see what happens. So I went in, you know, I checked to see if the RAM was seated. I checked, disconnected the CD drives, just left the hard drive on, and tried to boot up again, and nothing. It just stayed there again. Then I noticed, I was looking at the front of the computer case, and I noticed that it had one of those multi-card readers.
Yeah.
And the little green light on it was solid green. Right. It was just lit up like when it was reading. So I said, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't look right. I know that they could probably flash, you know, but not stay on. So I said, well, let me try this. So I turn off the computer off again. I disconnected the USB header from the motherboard, turned it on, and it booted right up.
Ah, good one.
So, yeah, it was a bad card reader, I guess.
You know what? I've had, that's really good. I love these weirdo jobs. This is great stuff you're bringing us. I've had like similar instances where those card readers, or it's like a USB port or something like that, where that somebody just basically jammed something into the USB port, and it's shorting out the two leads in the USB port. Similar symptoms to that. So maybe, I bet you there was something inside touching two pins together inside one of those card slots.
Yeah, that is possible. And you know, now that you mentioned the USB ports, after you mentioned it the very first time, like, I don't know, a year ago,
yeah,
when that happened to you, every time I had something weird like this, I would always look at the USB ports, because I learned from you that it could be one of the causes like that.
Oh, cool. Have you ever found it to be the cause yet?
Not the actual cause, but I had found maybe two of them that were damaged.
Right.
And I just did what I think I folded some electrical tape. I kind of made a thick little wad of it and folded it and stuck it in there and right. told them, don't ever use this one.
Right.
So, yeah.
Cool. Okay. That's a great one.
Okay. My next one is, actually, this has happened more than three times lately. And it's when the user tries to log into their account with Windows XP. And after they log in, it automatically boots them right back out and they go back to the welcome screen.
Oh, yeah. I hate that.
Yeah, and I found this three times, probably in the last 2 months.
Okay.
And one of them told me that they actually run a spyware scan right before that happened, and after that they couldn't log in anymore. So what I found out was, and I'm thinking that Simon, I believe it was Simon, or maybe Door-to-Door Geeks has the one that was mentioned this before, that there is a piece of malware, and this is what I found, that changes the registry setting. So instead of when you try to load... instead of loading userinit.exe,
right.
it changes it. In this case, it changes it to try to load winload32.exe.
Right, right.
So after the malware cleanup, which I believe on this particular time, it was Super Anti-Spyware that found it, and it detected that file and deleted it. So when you try to boot up again, and that's part of the startup procedure, and it doesn't find that winload32.exe, it just automatically goes back to the welcome screen. So, so this one, I couldn't even log in safe mode. I couldn't do anything. So what I ended up having to do was I went into, since I said I couldn't even go into safe mode, I ended up using, I used this tool that I'm going to talk about in a little bit. Which is ERD Commander.
Okay.
And I went in, and you can actually edit the registry and do all kinds of fun stuff, which I'll tell you more about right now.
Is it a registry fix, or do you just need to replace the file?
You need to...
Or do both?
The file is there. You okay. just need to go into the registry, and instead of telling it to point to that window 32, you need to change it back to userinit.exe. And it's inside the HKLM software /Microsoft chain of keys.
Okay.
So that one's
bringing back some memories. It was on the tip of my tongue right before you said user init. And then is it win logon? Is that what it changes it to?
Or? No, win logon is actually, I believe it's part of the process that uses them.
Okay. Okay.
So it's a legitimate, that win logon is a legitimate part of Windows, I believe.
Okay, cool. So you changed the registry key and all was well after that?
Yeah, after that key was deleted and I couldn't log back in, I went into the registry using that ERD commander and changed that, just that particular key,
right.
And everything was good.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Now, how do you learn? Let me ask you this. How are you learning how to do all this stuff?
A lot of Googling, I guess, most of us. I have learned a lot over the years. I do a lot of reading. I listen to tons and tons of podcasts, like most of us probably do.
Right.
But I think overall, every time we come upon like a crazy new problem that we probably never heard of, like they say, Google is your friend.
Oh yeah, that's I've learned so much in the shop through Google, big time. That's one of my main tools.
Yeah, and I'm getting into the habit of every time that I hear, one of the guests here talk about something that I think is very, very good to know, or that I might come across someday. Or that I've never heard of. I'm putting a lot into right now I'm doing it on a notebook, but I eventually want to put it on, maybe like a something electronic, a Word file or something.
Yeah, so maybe something searchable would work.
Yeah, to have a collection of just every possible awesome tip, that I've ever heard on the shows.
Right. And that would be cool. The show notes were sporadic. I think we got most of Podnuts Daily covered. So I'm going to put a Google search. I've been meaning to do this. I'm going to put a Google search on the website. So you'll be able to do a search for what you're looking for, and it should find it in the Podnuts Daily show notes. But
yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be another thing to do too, but I'll handle that.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job with the site and everything. I mean, it's running good. I could tell.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. And finally I came across that fake blue screen of death.
Yes.
Yeah, I finally came across that. I mean, I've heard everybody talking about it, and I was like, wow, that must be pretty common, but I've never seen it until, it was by now, it's probably been about 3 months ago. And sure enough, I saw it going through the boom, it flashes a blue screen of death, and then it pretends like it restarts the computer.
Yeah, and, you see the little bar scrolling across the screen. Does it do that?
Yep, it did that. And I had to do, I believe I did Control-Alt-Delete, you know, to try to kill that process, and everything was still there, you know. But after that initial time that it happened, I tried to reboot the computer, try to reproduce it again, and I could not get it to do it again. So I don't know what happened. I was lucky.
It never happened again?
It never happened again.
You know, it's a screensaver.
It is. Huh? It's just a screensaver. But, I mean, no matter how long I waited and no matter how if I just left it there or what I did, it didn't come back.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's weird.
You know, I actually think it started out as a legitimate piece of software. I think SysInternals made it or somebody made it. And then they hacked it to the spyware guys like to use it, I think, now.
Yeah. And I'm sure it scared a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. It's very convincing. Very convincing.
Yeah, people who don't know too much were like, oh, no. So, yeah. So, that computer was very infected also. It had, you know, those kind of spyware and malware that it prevents you from running any program.
Right.
You couldn't run msconfig. You couldn't run regedit. You couldn't do anything.
So, what did you do to clean it up?
That particular one, I believe I booted into safe mode, and I was able to start cleaning up little by little.
Right.
Because you know how it goes. Sometimes you have to hit it from all kinds of angles until you finally can get your foot in.
Right.
And then after that, you know, it's much better for me.
Well, you know what my favorite tool is to get my foot in.
Yeah, System Restore.
That's right.
And I do use that a lot, too. I that's another one of the hints that I've taken from you. So
thanks. You know, when it works, it's awesome. But if it doesn't, it doesn't. No big deal.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Actually, right now, you know, there's a couple of things that I wanted to mention.
Sure.
Because I really never hear people talking about them no more. And I found this particular program to still have a very valid use, you know, in our business here. And that's SpyBot, Search and Destroy.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, up until a couple of months ago about a month ago when Door-to-Door Geek mentioned it, I was just wondering, why doesn't anybody ever mention it anymore? Why doesn't anybody use it? Because what I found is after running Trojan Remover, Super Anti-Spyware, Malwarebytes, Smith Fraud Fix, you know, all our normal tools, I still run SpyBot and it still finds a whole lot of things.
Hmm.
You know, it's just like I guess you can say it's like a fifth opinion by this time. It's not a third opinion, it's like a fifth opinion.
Right.
And a lot of times it comes back clean because the other two did a great job, but sometimes it's still, what I really noticed is that SpyBot is really good at finding very old malware.
Oh.
You know, I found computers that I haven't seen that malware in over 4 or 5 years. I'm serious. I had this one HP computer desktop that it still had Service Pack 1, believe it or not.
Really? Service Pack 1?
Yeah, it had all these dialers. That, remember when the dialers were in big effect back
right,
in the day?
Right, right.
It still had a bunch of dialers. It still had that new .net spy.
Oh, man.
It had so much old stuff that I couldn't even believe that computer was still running. But
you know why SpyBot finds that? Because I think, see that Malwarebytes. I think Bruce from Malwarebytes told me this when I interviewed him a year or two ago. When you do a quick scan, because are you doing quick scan on like Super Anti-Spyware, Malwarebytes? Doing a quick scan, right?
Most of the time I do because you know how they mentioned the manufacturer said that usually it'll find almost everything that's
right.
There.
It, what it does, and I think this is what he said, when you do a quick scan, it only looks in the documented, the folders that they have documented up at Malwarebytes or wherever it is, only the folders that have documented malware in the past year are the only folders it searches in, I think. Along those lines. So you probably have like this old malware, and Malwarebytes is going to find it because if it's older than a year and it's not active, then it's just sitting there probably dormant. So that's what SpyBot's probably finding.
Yeah, you're right. And obviously the SpyBot search takes a lot longer.
Does it? I haven't run that in years. I forget.
Yeah, I think now it's up to like 900 and something thousand pieces of malware that it searches for.
Wow.
It has a whole collection.
I think I'm with you, though. If you have the time and you know it's going to find stuff, why not run it?
Yeah, I only do that when I bring him home.
Sure. It's great.
Usually, if I bring him home, it's because when I go to their house to pick them up, or, you know, I notice that this looks bad. So I tell them I'm going to have to take this with me. So I have a pretty much like a set fee rate, kind of like what you used to do and some of the other guys do. So I don't, you know, I'm not going to be there 4 or 6 hours at their house and charge them by the hour.
Right.
So I can go home and cook or do laundry or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I like that way of doing it. I mean, everybody has their way of charging. What's your rate?
Yeah. Right now I have a pretty high rate. I mean, I consider it pretty high for me. But I think it's still have at least half of what a Best Buy or Fry's or one of those places would charge you. Plus, I'm not going to delete their pictures and all that.
Of course.
You know, so
right.
I charge right now, I charge $120. If it's a complete virus cleanup, like it is totally hosed. And if I see that it has like Service Pack 1 or Service Pack 2, Internet Explorer 6, their antivirus is expired. You know, if I see that it's a total mess, it's $120, and I will clean it up or reinstall if I have to. And then I would update it 100% and install, you know, all the free, you know, normal stuff that we put on there.
I'll tell you what. I think that at this point in time, I think that's a great price. If I was going to go back and do it again, starting now, I think I'd be around there. I think that's a good price.
Yeah. I only charge them, I think I have $90 online if I work on their computer, you know, through through remote assistance, remote desktop.
Right.
But that's,
for you,
I haven't
for
really
you
done.
To show up and take it or work on it there. It's $120 flat fee.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. It's working out so far.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
We'll see if you get tired of trains, then you're going to go full steam into a computer repair.
Oh, I hope to go full steam anyways, even if I stay there.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let me see. There's a couple of other things that I just wanted to mention. There's this tool called RTT, which is Remove Restrictions Tool. And it's...
is it RRT or RTT?
RRT.
RRT. Gotcha.
Yeah. And I haven't really needed to use that one because a lot of the antivirus programs, they detect it as malware.
Right.
Like a Trojan, I believe. So I use it only in the utmost, you know, like when Dialofix won't run.
Right.
I'll use this to remove, like, you know, you can't open the task manager or something like that. So I'll use that.
How does it work?
Basically, you run the program, it installs, and when you run it, it'll have a bunch of little boxes with all the possible restrictions, which right. include do not show hidden folders,
right.
Do not allow you to change the Internet Explorer search page or start page and stuff like that. So whatever is restricted, it'll have a check mark in it. And then if you want to remove, let's say it says disable task manager and you want to, you know, remove the restriction and enable it, you just take off the check mark and put apply.
That's a great tool.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but it does kind of seem weird when after you run it, it automatically redirects you to their website, which is, I think, is Serwiga.com, or is Sergiwa.com. And it seems like they make a lot of antivirus tools and stuff, but this is the only one I've used from them.
Hey, well, I mean, it's a small app, right? It runs fast and just not intrusive.
Yeah, I don't leave it on there too. I just do what I got to do and then uninstall it.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, kind of like Trojan Remover, because, you know, then I'll keep bugging them for 30 days.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I recommend, you know, to my customers, I recommend, because I don't know if you noticed by now, I hope you didn't visit my website because I am kind of ashamed of it.
Of course I do.
But I know. But I do kind of try to specialize, and that's what I'm trying to cover, is the Hispanic market. Because not a lot of people are covering that area. And I think Hispanics need it more than anyone else out there.
Why do you think that?
Because most Hispanics are very, very naive, or they just don't know nothing about computers.
Really?
They know how to turn them on, and that's about as far as they go.
That's it's great. If you know there's a market there, I think it's excellent.
Yeah, and that's the market I'm trying to get a hold of right there. And,
are most of your customers Hispanic?
Oh, yeah, 99%.
There you go.
Yeah, I get some people from work and, you know, other people that have seen my flyers, I guess, you know, English-speaking people. I actually have a couple of Metro PCS stores that I'm working on, too.
Really?
So, yeah, I have like 3-4 of them, I believe.
Oh, that's great. How did you get those jobs?
Believe it or not, we went to buy my daughter a phone.
Yeah.
And we were there, and the guy was like, oh, come on, not right now. I can't believe it's doing this right now.
Right.
And I was like, what's going on? And he's like, this computer is acting up and all that. And I was like, oh, really? What's it doing? Because I fix computers. And he's like, oh, you do? Can you take a look at it? And I said, sure. You know, so I stepped around the counter, and he had all kinds of viruses.
Really?
Yeah. And I, you know, they have no antivirus on it. They're going to, you know, MySpace, Facebook, gaming websites, all kinds of stuff, you know. And of course, I ended up coming back home, getting my little toolbox and going back. And I think it took me like 2.5 hours, but I got it done. And after that, you know, I've done like 3 more of their stores.
Oh, that's great. And it's true. How many times have you stood in line or tried to check out or something, and the person behind the counter goes, man, this computer's so slow, or God, these computers suck, or something like that. That's just such an invitation for you to be like, do what you just did, or give your business card or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what happened. I happened to be at the right place at the right time.
Good for you, man. That's great. So, good opportunity.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. I think I only have a couple more things now. One of them is, as far as Microsoft Security Essentials, I think, you know, I still recommend AVG to most of my customers, because from what I found, just with one test that I've done, I have Microsoft Security Essentials running on my old computer that I use for testing and all that.
Yeah.
But I did this one. I had a customer who had LimeWire, and when I went to do their scan, they found 19 infected songs in their music that they downloaded from LimeWire.
With what program?
With AVG.
Okay.
So after that, I copied those 19 songs into a flash drive, and I brought them home with me. I said, you know, I'm gonna check them out. I'm gonna really look into them. So I uploaded some of them to VirusTotal and, you know, ran the scan and see what they came up with. And sure enough, most of them came up infected, or all of them did. So then I put the flash drive into my computer with Microsoft Security Essentials. I ran the scan on the flash drive, and only 4 of them showed up infected.
Oh, man.
And I was like, that's not very good out of 19. And when I went to VirusTotal, like I said, I think every single one of them came back infected by really? The majority of the antivirus programs. And
when are we going to learn that Microsoft is good at only a few things? I'm telling you, it's like, and this must be the reason why that program is so quiet all the time.
Yeah, because you never hear a beep or nothing.
No, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. I guess it's better than not having anything at all.
It's better than not having anything. And, you know, people have emailed me and said that it finds stuff all the time for them, and they think it's great. But I'm taking it all. I'm taking all the opinions in. I still think it's a little quiet for my taste.
Yeah, it's just an opinion here.
Yeah. So, no, but you did some testing. That's a good test.
I mean, yeah, I figured.
Good to know.
Okay, now this tool that I wanted to mention, I only heard one other person talk about it, and I don't remember if it was Simon, which is a genius, or it was Door-to-Door Geek, which he's also a genius too. But this one is called ERD Commander. And I believe it was also a tool that was made by SysInternals.
Oh, really?
And basically, ERD, I believe it stands for Emergency Repair Disk. And this disk, if you're running Windows XP with Service Pack 2 or 3, this disk is just about as good as Ultimate Boot CD for Win. And what this one does is basically you boot into it's like a BART PE environment.
Right.
You boot into a full, you know, Windows installation kind of.
Right.
And it has a locksmith, so you can change your passwords. You can do a system restore. And from what I've seen, this system restore is a lot more complete than just changing those 5 register keys.
Oh, really?
It's a lot more complete. It takes sometimes up to 10, 15 minutes, and you see on the screen, you know, all the changes that it's making, all the files that it's, you know, going through. And I think it's a lot more complete. But another thing is that you can use it for backing up data, you know, from computer that won't boot.
Right.
Like just
because this is all bootable from a live CD.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you can use auto runs. So it's
It comes with auto runs on it.
Mm-hmm.
Neat.
It does. And the most important thing is that you can edit the registry also. You can browse the registry just like when you're inside Windows. You know, you don't have to go through some cryptic, like, you know, command line kind of deal going through a registry like that.
Right.
But this one is pretty good. And more than anything, I guess the most important part of it for me, it has saved me a couple of times, is that you can actually do a system file checker, and it'll go through all the critical system files. And if anything is damaged or missing, it'll replace it.
Oh, good.
So kind of like, you remember when we used to use, no, the name is escaping me right now. When you're in Windows and you do that system file checker, SFC scan now.
Yes.
That one right there. This is kind of like that, but it automatically replaces the files.
Thank God. That was the worst part about running SFC.
Yeah, that you have to get the CD, and a lot of times it would tell you this is not the correct
version. Right, exactly. Especially if you had Media Center. It would be so confused.
I had that problem, and I tried every single XP disk that I had at my disposal.
Nothing worked.
None of them were the right one.
I know. It's like, what do you want from me, SFC?
Exactly. So that's pretty much it as far as my tips. The only other thing that I have is, how are we doing on time? We're okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I have this customer. This is kind of like I want to call it a customer service story, or I don't know, a nagging customer story, I guess, if you want.
All right.
I have this customer who, she has a son. He's probably about 20 years old.
Okay.
But he likes to tinker. He's like a child, kind of. And it reminds me of Avatar. He has broken his computer and his mom's computer at least 3 times. And this is about in the last year or year and 2 months.
Right.
And maliciously? No, okay. Like he's experimenting with them. One time he installed Linux on one of them, and he couldn't get back, of course, because he wiped out his XP installation.
Of course.
He wiped it out. Another time he installed Windows Vista without a valid key. So, you know, he got to the 30 days where he couldn't do anything anymore. And it was just funny because he's always doing something because he's trying to learn,
right,
but he's just messing everything up.
Right.
Another time he took RAM from his mom's computer, which has Vista, and he left it with only 512 megabytes.
That's so great.
And on that same computer, I don't know what he tried to do, but he messed around with it one time. And then so she called me and told me, you know, it's not turning on. So first thing I do, you know, I'm going to check the power supply when I get in there. Well, when I go to disconnect the power supply from the motherboard, the cable, the 24-pin cable, I notice that it's not even connected. Oh, that'll work. No wonder it's not turning on. And, of course, he left it like that.
So all you had to do was connect it and it turned on?
Yeah. I tested the power supply anyways, and everything shows good. And then I connected it and it worked. And, okay, now the thing about this guy, too, is that he keeps breaking his stuff, and then his mom calls me and tells me, you know, hey, don't charge me too much. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to charge you my normal rate, you know, which when I just go do something and it's like something very easy that takes me 5 minutes or less, I charge $60.
Okay.
You know, just even if it's a 5-minute job, a 2-minute job.
And, right.
You know, and I tell her, well, I'm going to charge you what it costs for me to come out here.
Right.
You know, and I told her, I can't be coming out here for free because your son, after we have talked to him, after you've told him, don't mess around with these, he keeps breaking him.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, I have to charge. And sure. That's pretty much it.
So what did she do then? Like, after she said, don't charge you too much, and you charged her, did she understand, or was she upset? Or
she understood after I told her that. You know, yeah. I told her, you know, the thing about it is, we have talked to your son. We have told him, you know, don't do nothing to them. Or if you want to mess yours up, you know, mess yours up, but leave your moms alone. You know, and he doesn't learn. So I said, I can't be coming out for free because he doesn't learn.
Right. Of course not. It's so not your responsibility on that.
Exactly. And she was okay with it. And cool. Of course, I still have her other computer here, that one with XP on it, which is a gateway. And she told me, well, when I have enough money, I'll call you so you can bring it to me. I've had it for 3 weeks already.
Yeah, that might end up being a keeper for you.
I could use it. It would replace my old Pentium 4 on Dell that I have right there to experiment with.
There you go.
But other than that, I think that's pretty much it. I wanted to kind of talk about my name because you guys are probably wondering why I spelled it with a Q.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure a lot of people already know, and you too, that obviously Computer Doctor with a C was already taken.
Right.
Right. And every possible combination that I could think of, computer tech or PC tech or whatever, everything you can possibly think of for a website was already taken. So I said, okay, well, how about, my last name starts with a Q. So I said, how about computer with a Q? And then sure enough, it was available.
That's pretty amazing. I'm actually really surprised that you got that domain.
With a Q? Even with a Q?
Even with a Q, because it's still almost a complete common dictionary word. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I've had it since 2007, maybe. I got the URL way before I actually started the business going on.
Still, that's not that long ago.
No,
as far as domains names are saturated.
Yeah, they are. It's amazing because you try to, like, I've been trying to look up another one for my PC help desk or my, you know, online virtual diagnostic thing. And I've been trying to come up with some that I don't see the domain is registered, but I mean, I don't see the website when I do a search for, you know, for a virtual doctor or whatever. Nothing comes up, but the domains are not available.
That's the thing that upsets me the most about this. Yeah, those domain squatters where they mostly, it's kind of crazy. Either they're holding, which here's something I don't understand. They'll buy domain names and then they'll put like, what are those pages called where they have all kinds of links on them?
The landing pages?
Yeah, those landing pages, but you know, you would think that they would at least post something saying, look, if you want to buy this domain name, I'll sell it to you for 10 grand or something like that.
Yeah, but ridiculous. Huh?
Yeah, it's the fact that they're not using them just upsets me. Like, there should be some rule that you have 30 days to use it properly or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but other than that, I also got my other one. I don't know if you noticed on my Computer Doctor webpage, I have the link to my other webpage, which is my, I'm doing a Spanish podcast. And, you know, I'm not really going so hardcore like I should be, you know, because I've done 12 episodes and then I kind of laid back and I haven't done any more. And I think I did 5 videos, but I really,
what's the podcast about?
It's computer, tips, like just basically why is important to do Windows update? Why is bad to use LimeWire? Why do people get infected? And even basic things like how to make folders, how to back up your pictures, you know, how to do basic, you know, Windows things. Because like I said before, most of my Hispanic comrades are very, very naive when it comes to computers.
Yeah, that's cool. I was always on the fence whether to provide a service like that. Because, you know, if you tell your customers enough, then they're not going to need you. But I see how this builds goodwill if you give them the basics and they appreciate it. They hear your voice. You know, if it's a new guy who's never called you before, he feels like he knows you by just watching your videos and knows what you're talking about. So then he'll call you. So I guess it's been working out for you, right?
You know, unfortunately, not too many people have seen him. But yeah, even though every single time I repair a computer or they tell me, you know, I don't know anything about computers, I tell them, you know, well, I have this program on this webpage, you know, and if you want to learn some more, you know, go listen to it.
Right.
But not too many people. I don't have a lot of traffic on that site, but I'm hoping that over time, you know, it's going to start building traffic and nothing starts, you know, overnight, of course.
Absolutely.
And,
not.
And that's pretty much it. Like you said, it builds goodwill. Some people have even asked me, you know, why are you doing this? What do you get out of it? And I said, nothing really. I mean, it could even be bad for me. Like you said, you know,
right,
they learn how to do that. But trust me, most people are not going to be able to do probably 80% of what I'm trying to teach them. They will not even, as soon as they hear, you know, they hear the story and they'll say, oh, you know what? I can't do that. There's no way I can do that.
Yeah, I believe you. I actually believe people. That's why on the Tech Site Builder, that product I made, it's a one-page website. And guys are emailing me, well, I want to add this and that and I want to put this. I'm like, I made it one page on purpose. I wasn't being lazy about it. Because all you need is one page. When people go to want to get a computer repair done, if they end up on your website, they want your phone number and they want to know that you fix computers. They want to know that much about you. You don't have to school them on networking terminology. Like, they just want your phone number and they want to know that you can fix their computer. So if your page can communicate that, that's a good first step.
Yeah, you know, that's now I see that they're talking about that that Evil versus iPhone 4 on YouTube, and I wanted to mention something about the Evil. But before I do that, that's why I actually put my I call it Mysterious Computer in Spanish. That's why I put it on a separate web page because I didn't want to, you know, saturate that one page with all that other stuff.
Right, exactly.
So I made a completely separate domain for that. And
Evo, I was inches or seconds or whatever unit of measurement you could use to describe this. I was at Best Buy today and the guy was about to hand me one because I was going to buy it, and it was white. And my iPhone is white, and I wanted a black iPhone, but all they had was white, so I settled for that. And at this time, I said, look, I just can't settle for another white phone. I want black. So I didn't end up getting it. But what were you going to say about it?
That I love it.
Do you have it?
I have it, and I used to be into Windows Mobile. The last phone I had was an HTC Touch Pro 2, and I love that phone. I have been a Windows Mobile user for at least 4 years, 5 years. Ever since the original T-Mobile MDA came out.
You must love Android then. If you're going from Windows Mobile to Android, it's probably a dream.
But Windows Mobile for me, it did everything I ever wanted to do.
Really?
And I know Leo is always, your phone is always crashing and a phone shouldn't be crashing and this and that. I think that in the 6 years that I've used Windows Mobile, it probably crashed maybe 5 or 6 times.
Really?
I did everything I ever needed to do with it, and a lot of things that that even now I probably haven't learned how to do with Android yet. But I loved Windows Mobile.
Did you have a stylus?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I actually make my own styluses because the ones that come with it, they're very, very little, and I would lose them all the time. So I made a pen with a GPS or an iPad stylus. I kind of converted it, and so great. It's like a full-size pen. And
nice.
Yeah.
So you say you're loving it, huh?
I am loving the Evo. I am loving Android. It is amazing. And one of the things that about the Evo, the 4-inch screen, it is such a big difference from the 3.7-inch Touch Pro 2 that I had.
Oh, yeah.
For videos, for browsing the web pages, even for reading. Like if you like to read ebooks or even PDFs, it is awesome for PDFs.
Oh, man. I want it. Yeah.
You should get it. I think they didn't have any black ones yet still.
No, I actually, before the show, I called around to about 30 places. No, not that much. Maybe 10 or 15 Best Buys and Radio Shacks and Sprint stores, and nobody has them. It's almost impossible to get. Radio Shack's getting a shipment in tomorrow, so I think I'm going to be able to get one tomorrow morning. But yeah. I don't want the black. The white one actually feels to me a little heavier than the black one. And it's glossy, so it gets all fingerprinty. And it looks too girly. I mean, it's white. I settled for the white iPhone. I put a case around it and a black case around it, and that was okay. But I just couldn't do it twice in a row.
Yeah, I think the black phones, I think they're more attractive overall.
Yeah.
But and the last thing I wanted to mention about regarding the Evo, there's this app called Dot Podcast with a K.
Yeah.
I believe it's with a K. It is the only podcatcher or streaming podcast app that I have found so far on Android that I can find your shows on.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, if you download that podcast, you can actually browse. You can actually just type, my hard drive died, Linux for the rest of us, Podnuts Daily. You can find all your shows there. And what's nice about that app is that you can listen to them streaming, or you can have them download them to your SD card.
Ooh.
It is an amazing app. I mean, the only thing I don't like about it that I've noticed is that, let's say I'm listening to a podcast and I pause it and then I have to do something with my GPS or whatever I want to do, or answer an email or something. When I come back to it, for some reason, it's like it starts the program again and then I can't continue where I left off. So I have to start it again, man. And then, let it buffer and then go
back. But you don't have to listen to the whole thing again.
No, you can fast forward, right, as it's buffering. Right. If you press, like way at the end of the little bar, it'll actually jump over to the latest point that is buffered to.
Well, look, don't worry about that. If it's when I get my Android phone, after I play with it for a couple of weeks, I'm definitely going to have a Podnuts Android app.
That's what I was hoping, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And cool. Hopefully it'll be as good as the one you're using. So. And hopefully I can make it free this time. See, my iPhone app, Wizard Media, made it, and they said, you want, like, basically they approached me and said, you want an app? And I go, yeah, I want an app. And they go, okay, well, I'm like, how much is it going to cost me? They're like, nothing. So I'm like, okay. But they actually charge for it. That's how they make money for doing the app. So I'd like to have a free one. So,
yeah, but even a couple of bucks, I wouldn't mind paying for it. And I don't think a lot of us would.
All right, cool. And we'll see then. Well, maybe I'll make it like 50 bucks.
Oh, there you go. I said a couple bucks.
I'm just kidding. All right, want me to read some emails here?
Sure.
All right, this one, and then I'll read. There's two voicemails I have to play still, actually, from left over from last show. This email is from Rob. He says, Oh, liquid electrical tape. If you listen to Timster's last Podnuts Daily, or one of the ones, he actually left a voicemail saying he used liquid electrical tape and it caught on fire. It's very flammable. Rob writes after listening to that, and he says, there's several manufacturers out there, but this one seems to have everything worked out for the flammable aspect. Let me just go to the website here. It's called plastidip.com. That's plastidip.com. Looks like they have non-flammable liquid electrical tape. So there you go. Mm-hmm. If you do want to use liquid electrical tape and you don't want to fry anything, I guess that's the way to go. Thanks, Rob, for that. Rob also says, oh, because somebody also in an earlier Podnuts Daily was asking if anybody knows of some free LoJack type software for laptops, like location prevent, like theft prevention software. And Rob says, device tracking software, some work with smartphones and some are computers only. According to Adiona, they are not fully online. Okay, so Adiona was one of the ones that he suggested, but apparently Adiona is not fully online. That's Adeona. It's an open source LoJack type software. Let's see what else. He also found a couple others. One's preyproject.com, P-R-E-Y project.com, ihoundsoftware.com. And then there's one for free for 30 days, laptopcentry.com. Info Lookup just told me in the chat room, preyproject.com. Thanks for that. And then he said, I just want to share a story of mine. I had a client call me about her older model Dell laptop. The laptop worked fine for a few minutes or so. The time frame was random. She said it would suddenly blow gray smoke out the back of the laptop and shut down, leaving the smell of melted plastic. Why do I feel like I've read this before? Okay, well, no, I'm going to keep reading it. I think I read it personally, but I didn't read it on the show. So it said, blow gray smoke out the back of the laptop, and it would shut down, leaving the smell of melted plastic. She had a project she was working on and had to complete it before she would bring it in. It started doing this about 1 or 2 days ago over the weekend and waited till Monday to call. So I had to see for myself, and sure enough, you power it on, and after a few minutes, depending on the workload, smoke, power off, and melted plastic smell filling the room. Okay, I'm going to stop the email right here. If that happened to me on a laptop and I witnessed that and I saw it, there is no way I would turn that laptop back on. In fact, if the customer came in and said, look, every time I turn my computer on, it blows smoke and I smell plastic burning, I would not go anywhere near the power button. I'd pull the battery out and I'd take the AC adapter out of this laptop and I would just start taking it apart. That's exactly what I would do because I don't want to fry their computer. But Rob wanted to see it for himself, I guess. So it did happen for him. He said, and upon opening the case, I looked at the CPU fan only to see where a wire to the fan was pinched and had the wire core showing, and it was surrounded by dried case plastic. So the laptop was overheating and sending a signal to the fan to turn on to dissipate the heat, thus melting the plastic, causing the smoke and smell, and the CPU would shut down the PC to prevent damage. Replacing the fan and correctly routing the wire resolved the issue. Good job, Rob, on that one. I'm glad it didn't fry the motherboard or anything. Okay, this is from Andrew. It says, hey, Andrew here once again. This is Andrew Gerstenfeld. He was on one of the Podnuts Daily episodes with Lalo. He says, Andrew here again. Once again, listening to the latest Podnuts Daily, my favorite podcast. I heard Timster mention removing toolbars. I thought I'd bring this tool up. Okay, Timster was talking about like browser hijack. No, he wasn't even talking about that. He was talking about when he does a cleanup on a customer's machine, he removes like all the crazy toolbars from the internet browser. Well, Andrew writes, I heard Timster mention removing toolbars. I thought I'd bring this up. It's called multi-toolbar remover. It's for all those toolbars that just won't remove themselves from add remove programs window. It has about add remove programs window. Oh, okay. I get what he's saying. Sometimes they install themselves there. He says it has about 12 or 15 toolbars, and just by one click makes removing them very simple. Thanks for all you do, Andrew G. And the link is autoclean.computersitter.com. Autoclean.computersitter.com. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it, and thanks for the compliments on the show. Okay, and jump in here. If you have, Jose, if you have anything that you want to say while I'm reading emails, just jump on in.
Sure.
Okay. Haroon writes, hey, Steve, it's Haroon from Manchester, UK. I thought I'd respond to an email from Jim on show 249, where he was asking how he could benchmark improvements he made on clients' computers. And he says, I came across a Visual Basic script on Britec. That's B-R-I-T-E-C. He was actually on an episode of Podnuts. A script on Britec's forums called computerboottimer.vbs. Since I've come across this, it's been an invaluable tool for me when benchmarking. When a client gives me a computer, they complain the computer's running slow. I run this script first as it times how long it takes to perform a full reboot. I take a screenshot before and after I've performed all the necessary cleanups. I stick the screenshots on the invoice I give to the client. Therefore, they can see for themselves exactly the improvements I made and just not take my word for it. It's very small and very handy. A big shout out goes to Britec for this. So it's a good tool, what he's talking about. And I think it's an ingenious way of writing up an invoice. What do you think, Jose?
I think so, yeah, because I've been actually wanting to do something like that too, and not only document everything that you did to the computer, but also something that they can, you know, actually feel. Like, I mean, they could tell because, you know, we've all had computers that take, you know, 8, 10, 15 minutes to boot up, and then when you're done with them, they take 2 minutes.
Right, exactly.
You know, but it's good to have an actual visual thing.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. I mean, I don't think anybody should go crazy creating these reports. Like, write down what you do, and if you could print off a simple thin little thing like that, that would be helpful. But yeah, it's like you said, and what I did at the shop was just I fixed it and they took it home and it worked and I was happy with that. But it's cool.
Yep.
Okay. Sure. Drew says, hey Steve, I heard a few things on Podnuts about computer repair specific CRM software with suggestions like TS Man and maybe another, but I haven't heard the mention of a program called My IT CRM. Okay, so it's My IT CRM. That's the name of the program. It's open source, and the main developer is working pretty diligently on it. It's coded in PHP. There's a full demo on their website, so anyone can play with it instantly. It has some nice features. When I start my business in the fall, it's what I'm going to use. The website is team.myitcrm.com. So team.myitcrm.com. And CRM stands for customer. What does CRM stand for? I know what the software is. Customer relationship management. Yes. Customer relationship management software. That's what it is. Cool. Hey, that's a great email, Drew. Thank you for sending that in. Great tip. I know people are definitely looking for software like that. What do you use, Jose, for do you use any type of accounting software or anything like that?
No, I'm basically just, I write out receipts and everything, but I don't use any electronic stuff.
Yeah, for the longest time, I would go to Staples and buy those little repair books. They come with like 50 like carbon copy sheets, and they were great.
Yeah, what I do actually, I buy those. They're called work repair invoices, but they're full 8.5 by 11 inch, and I just printed out my logo, my name, my phone number, and I added some stuff in there, and I just fill in the blanks pretty much. But it looks pretty professional actually.
Well, that's a great idea. So you just take the invoice and you run it through your printer.
Exactly. I print on top of it.
That's neat. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me read this one more email, and then we'll do two voicemails, and then we will end off. This is from Roberto. He says, hello, guys. Once again, I'm needing to find a service manual for an Acer Aspire 4720Z. Not a user manual, but the real thing for a tech. Can you suggest any friends or a friendly site to find it? Thanks in advance. This might be a... Let's see. Yeah, every once in a while. This is somebody who doesn't listen to the show. I get emails every once in a while from people who contact me through the laptop repair videos site. And most of the times they just ask me how to fix their laptop. And I usually answer by saying buy the videos. But as far as this, I think I wanted to read it because I don't know. There's been mention of sites that I think recently, actually, I don't remember the name of the sites, but look at a couple episodes back of Podnuts Daily. There's links to service manuals. It might have been Timster who brought it up. It was Timster. So the episode with Timster, he talked about many sites, I think, that have service manuals for laptops. So check that out. Unless you know of any right now, Jose.
Not specific sites. Basically, what I do when I've had to do something like with a laptop that's not very obvious, I just look up the model number and service manual, and usually something will come up.
Oh, you just Google those words.
Yeah, the model number plus service manual.
Yeah, that's a good way of doing it. Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've gotten a lot of them that are very, very, you know, sketchy, like spyware and all that. But right. I try to stick to the one. I have, you know, Web of Trust and all that, so I try to stay away from that.
Yeah, but between Web of Trust and Common Sense, you usually can get pretty far.
Oh, yeah. So far, so good.
I think I got two emails here. Jose, if you want to hear them, what you have to do right now is mute your Skype. And then if you're watching the Ustream feed, you have to unmute the Ustream feed. Otherwise, you won't be able to hear them until I have a better setup. When I move, I'm going to have a better setup going on. So I'm going to play it right now. So if you want, just mute your Skype and watch the Ustream feed if you want to hear it. Otherwise, I'll talk to you in a couple minutes.
I'll do that.
Okay, this is the first one. It's 3 minutes long. Here we go.
Hey, Steve. This is Carlos in Kansas with TechUSA Computer Services. And just wanted to call and let you know I bought a leaf blower. It's a two-speed home light brand that has a, I think it's like a 150 and then 220 mile per hour. Had a switch you can go to your one. I want to tell you that I love it. Saves a lot of time. And you're right about the compressor. The compressor's more directed, you know, but boy, that sure is much quicker. And I'm really liking it. Also, if you don't mind, I can tell you about one of my computers that jobs I had today was a compact desktop Pisario PC, model number SR1103WM, William Mary. And the disk drive wouldn't read the CD, so I changed the drive out. Got it to, got into the BIOS and was going to load some defaults and had a password. So on the motherboard, I took the jumper and reset the motherboard password, set the jumper back on, and reload the operating system. And during the middle of the install, the computer just would shut off pretty much at the same time. You know, when it says that there's 39 minutes left for the Windows installation. And so what I did was open the case and noticed it was very dirty. A lot of dust bunnies, dirt, animal hair. So I took the hard drive out and replaced it with a Seagate Barracuda 80 gig. And the computer was doing the same thing. So looking at the machine further, I noticed that the heat sink was just caked with dirt. And so what I did was took the fan, the heat sink off the motherboard. And, yeah, it was very dirty, the CPU. The paste on the CPU, it was kind of crusty, dried out. So I cleaned it off, got all that dirt off the heat sink, took the machine outside and used the leaf blower and cleaned it up very nicely, put some paste back on there just a little bit, and that did the trick. But Wednesday, so I'll get a nerve up to be on there on your show for an hour. Just kind of nervous about it. But I'd tell you about one of the jobs I had. And you're doing great, Steve. I love your show. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Carlos, and thanks for the compliments. I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing your story. The leaf blower thing is awesome. I used it all the time. I loved it. It like you said, it's not as concentrated as the compressor, but it does the job. It gets all the stuff out. And the cool thing about the leaf blower is, well, I mean, it's light, and you don't have to. It's easy to use. You could put a desktop down and just like keep yourself standing upright and blow all the dust out of it. Some of you guys who are listening, like or new listeners, whenever you hear people calling in or saying like, "Oh, I used a leaf blower." Yeah, we're not talking about leaves. Leaf blowers are one of the most awesome things you could use to clean out the dust out of computers. Now, Carlos, here's a tip for you. The first thing I used to do on every computer that I got was take it outside and blow the dust out of it. If it was a laptop, I used a can of compressed air or whatever you want to do for that. I didn't use the leaf blower on laptops, but if it was a desktop, I took it outside, I hit it with the leaf blower, Then you bring it in. A lot of times you could blow all the dust out of the heatsink with the leaf blower. One word of warning, 200 miles an hour leaf blower, I think it's a little too much. Mine was maxed out at 120, and that was I would go as high as 150, but I don't think I would go higher than that. So keep yours on the low setting. 200 might start to fry the fans or blow components off the motherboard. So be careful with that. Okay, let me play the other voicemail here, and then we'll get back with Jose. Here's the other voicemail. It's 1 minute long.
Hey, Steve, this is Max. Max Mon in the forums and Maxim Technology. I just getting caught up on all my podcasts and was listening to episode 250, in which Ron had called and was looking for any laptop tracking software. I was watching Hack 5, and they just did a review on a software called PreyProject.com is the website. PreyProject.com, and it's an open source laptop tracking software that looks pretty useful. I'm going to try that out myself here in a couple of days whenever I get a break, and I'm going to load that up and see what it does. But like I say, it's an open source project. It takes images. It lists out what programs are running. It shows IP addresses. Looks pretty useful. But like I say, that's on the latest episode of Hack 5 of June 30th. And we'll check that out, and I'll post it to the forum if it hadn't already been done. So appreciate your shows. Keep it up. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Max. Appreciate it. Prey Project. This one sounds like the one to get, guys. I mean, we've had a couple people email in about this. So definitely check that out. Great advice. Free LoJack software. Can't beat it. Thanks again, Max. Okay, Jose, you back with us?
I'm here.
Okay, cool. All right. I think we are done. We covered a lot of stuff today.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Do me a favor. Keep saving up those jobs that you were talking about earlier, the oddballs. They're entertaining, and they're the kind of things that we need to know. I mean, people should have it kind of down pat now, you know, their malware removal techniques and stuff like that. But these kind of jobs are the ones that are going to they're like the clutch information you need to know when you don't have no other idea what to do. Those are great stories. So I appreciate you bringing them to us today.
No problem. I've been wanting to.
Okay, good. Well, definitely sign up again. And if anybody else wants to be on the show, you go to podnuts.com/guests. I have slots in July open. I'm going to probably post some open August dates in there tonight sometime. So I should have August up there by tomorrow. So if you want to be on Podnuts Daily, it's easy. Just go to podnuts.com/guest, sign up for a show in July and August, and you will be on the show. It's just that simple. See, Jose, what you tell everybody what you did to get on the show.
Basically, I just, more than anything, I had to gather up enough wits, I guess, to go on the website and sign up, and that's it.
That's it. And did I say, oh no, Jose, you don't know enough to come on the show?
Not at all.
Yeah. If you got, I'm trusting you guys. If you feel like you have some information you want to share, you're in. So, again, I appreciate it, Jose. And I think that's going to be it for today's episode of Podnuts Daily, guys. I'm going to try to have Ron's episode posted tonight. I actually forgot I recorded that. So we'll get that posted, and then hopefully we'll have this posted the next day. See everybody next time.
Bye.
Music for Podnuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.